show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Anniversary, graduation, birthday, divorce. Do you have any Technorama greeting cards?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Just unmute the mic. Button up, button down, I don't know. Welcome to Technorama with Chuck and Craig. I am Chuck.
And I am Craig.
And this is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This is the show for January 13, 2010. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. Like I said, I'm Chuck, trying to work my way through yet another change in the configuration around the studio. And, oh, it'll be fun tonight. With me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I think I'm okay, actually.
Have you learned to start writing 2010 yet?
Actually, I think I've been doing pretty good. Now that you mention it, I'll probably mess up a lot. I was fine until you said something.
Oh, yeah. It happens all the time. I'm getting better at typing it, but I just can't seem to write it. It's actually easier to type 2010 for some reason, because maybe it's because you get two hands to use. Anyway.
Okay.
Before we go too much further, I want to remind everybody this show is brought to you by the lovely people at Citrix. They've been our friends for a long time, sponsoring the show. And we would like to remind you that you can try GoToAssist Express, the wonderful remote diagnostics program that lets you see what's on other people's screens. A lot of people got computers for Christmas, and they're going to be calling you for support soon.
Hey,
I guarantee
it. I didn't get one for Christmas.
Did you get new software?
No.
Did you download new software?
Oh, that's a possibility. Now you're talking.
Did you reboot your computer?
Well, that's a distinct possibility.
Then someone somewhere is going to need support, and this is where GoToAssist comes in handy, because it lets you see what's on their screen. It doesn't matter if they've got a Mac. It doesn't matter if they've got a Windows machine. All they need is a browser, and you can help them out. Get them up and running, all from the comfort of your own home. Try it free for 30 days by going to GoToAssist.com/techpodcast. Yep,
actually,
same as before.
All from the comfort of your homepage.
Oh, I did not see that coming. And shame on me.
Yeah, you're too slow. You need some caffeine.
All right, we've got about four more bullet items in the show notes tonight than I would like, so mm-hmm. We're gonna proceed at warp 9.
And now here's our host to tell you more about what's coming up next. Host,
coming up in this episode, we've got game mashup, games on food, and the origin of the name of a classic game. Are you sensing a theme tonight?
We're talking about spaghetti.
Rock. And I gotta get it off my chest. Want the biggest, the best, better than the rest. Pop.
Rap. Mysteriously sexy. I'm the kind of girl to make you holla out.
Hey!
And you never know what Mike will cook up in his next pot of Mike's Hot Dish. And see what's on the menu at the next generation of radio.com. Next generation of radio.com.
This is Richard Hatch from Battlestar Galactica, Tom Zarek, and the original Captain Apollo, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
All right. Spaghetti, food, hot dish. Sensing a definite theme here.
Yeah. Let's get Gordon Ramsay on here. We need some cooking.
You got some onion.
That's not good enough.
All right. Let spices all right. show up with their spice weasel.
What? Spice weasel?
Bam.
Hey, by the way, I watched the something, something, something Dark Side.
What? And there's, I saw that. What does that mean? Is that an actual show now? A show name?
Yes.
I thought you couldn't remember the show name.
No, it's
well, his name. It was something, something. It starts with a J.
No, it's a Family Guy. The Family Guy. They're starting the next Star Wars special.
Oh,
Empire
okay.
Strikes
yeah,
Back.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And what you just made me think of was, you know, when Luke is on the Tauntaun and he goes, "Hey, Han, I just saw a meteorite near here. I'm gonna go check it out." You know, he goes. He says, "Hey, Han," and he goes, "Hey, I thought we talked about this." He says, "Oh yeah, yeah." He said he wanted to change. Han said he wanted to change his code name to Carlos Spicy Wiener. He was having to call him Carlos Spicy Wiener, and I started calling Harrison that. He didn't like it too much. Hey, Carlos Spicy Wiener, come here. Shut up, Dad.
Hey, before we get too much further, I want to give a special thanks to John Noble for his generous donation in the tip jar. Thank you very much.
It was very noble of him.
Oh, Wow. Craig's all the color commentary tonight.
Yeah.
Looking over in the chat room, we have Asleep at D Wheel.
That's my petty wheel.
Sounds like the whole chat room sometimes.
Yeah.
Ben Vaughn, Claudio M, Captain Sympathies, Deb Drup, Gru, Marvy Bove Battings, Movie Forecast, Ranger Craig. Hey!
Hey, Ranger Craig.
I haven't seen Craig in a while. T. Elliott for Dummies, Tom PFD, ZML 2008, and Z Uber Nemesis.
Z Uber Nemesis.
Welcome. Thank you, everybody, for joining us in the chat room. If you happen to be around on Sunday nights, we'd love to see you there. Join us. You can just go to the Technorama main page. We're going to have the webcams up while we're streaming live. You can see Craig and I side by side. Oh, it's a good time. You don't even need to log in. You just make up a handle and join there. If you want to change your name to something goofy like they do, everybody's willing to help out.
Goofy, yes.
Looking at the birthday calendar, we've got a couple of them for mid-January. January 14th is our old buddy Glenn Tolar. Boy, we haven't heard from Glenn in a long time. If you're still out there, we'd love to hear from you. And Fuffy Frog, a.k.a. Christina from Canada. These are old familiar chat room names that we just haven't heard from in a long, long time.
Yeah, I see Fuffy Frog on Twitter and stuff every once in a while.
Do you? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You're right.
If she participates in the NaNoWriMo. I know that because that's usually the time I see her pop in.
If you want to be on the Technorama birthday calendar, visit our wiki, chuckchat.com/wiki. We'd love to see you there.
Mm-hmm.
Now we get some news, right?
Good news, everyone!
Actually, we have some bad news. We probably should have played the other one.
Bad news, everyone.
Okay, thanks. We have a bit of sad news. Our buddy T. Morrissey, if you've been listening to the Podosphere this past week, you probably realize that he lost his wife. We're not real sure exactly all the details, but his wife passed away on, was it Wednesday morning, the 7th? So we're all very saddened to hear that news. T, if you're new to Technorama or listening to podcasts, T is a very good friend. He puts himself out there, helps out everybody. He's the one who got me started into publishing with the second edition of Podcasting for Dummies. He's been on this show. We've met him in person. Just all-around great guy. Can't say enough good stuff about him. He's had some hard personal times the last year, and this obviously didn't make it any better. So our hearts, our prayers, our thoughts go out to T and his daughter Serena. If you want to help out.
Well, I was going to say, if there was a bright side of the whole thing, it was the way a lot of the communities come out and really helped him out. Philippa Ballantyne set up a chip-in account, and everybody's been chipping in. And of course, you're welcome to as well. It's kind of changing course now. Instead of just helping out, they're going to change it into a trust fund for his daughter. And I think the last time I checked, it was like at $13,000-$14,000.
Oh, that's terrific.
It is fantastic. So it helped with the funeral expenses. And then now they're taking that money and they're going to, what's left, I guess, which was, of course, the majority. And they're going to turn that into a trust fund for his daughter.
Yeah. Serena is, what, 4 or 5 years old? Very young girl. Mm-hmm. Just our heart goes out to him and his family. So check the show notes. If you can remember the whole URL, it's tnserena.chipin.com/t-and-sonic-boom. Sonic Boom mm-hmm. is his nickname, kind of superhero name for his daughter.
Oh, by the way, I also want to throw in there that there is going to be an auction to help benefit his daughter to go along with the trust fund. Mm-hmm. And you can find that at theboomeffect.org.
Love the name.
So people are going to be putting up signed copies of this, that, and the other. And anyway, you can go there and you can check it out and get all the details. I think it's February 27th is the actual auction. But I'm go to the site to make sure.
Looking at the other news story we have, I don't know if this is the smartest person in the world or just the dumbest.
But we'll take it.
You may have already
we'll take the good with the bad.
You may have already heard this on other podcasts if you listen to a lot of news stories, but we got to cover it because it just screamed Technorama to us.
Of course.
An Amazon merchant posted a $3 billion price tag for an old Windows 98 software. Now, the only thing I can figure is maybe they entered like negative $20 or something. And Amazon didn't catch the negative and it sort of rolled over backwards.
Yeah, maybe.
That's the only thing backwards. I can figure out. But as if that wasn't bad enough, the $2.9 billion CD, the guy bids on it. And apparently,
to see if it was for real.
Now, legally, they could have said, okay, you must pay. But
yeah.
Imagine the commission somebody would have got from Amazon on that thing.
Amazon gets 20% off the sale. Yeah.
Woo-hoo, so. I'm buying an island.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Let's see. At the bottom, it says Gizmodo reports that another Amazon merchant caught wind of the transaction and tried to sell the same CD-ROM for a smaller fee of $250,000.
What a deal. Heck, we'll sell you one for a measly $10,000. Not. Oh, and
I was gonna say,
you know, the shelves behind me, I was just cleaning them off tonight, and I came across a Windows 98 and a Windows 95 CD. So, well, they're out in the garbage
you
now.
You can have those for $30 if you want. Find a machine to run 95 on.
Donna's asking me, did you throw out anything we might need? Well, not unless you need the old Colorado scanner that we brought to the recycle center about 3 years ago.
Yeah. Was it still run a parallel connection?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yeah, one of those. You get the idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, I got a Windows 98 CD. I'll just give you.
All right. Looking at the... Where is it? Hacks and Strange Stories! We've got three of them for you.
Three of them?
Yes.
For the same price?
Michelle sends us a link to the Tetris Mario Brothers mashup. This is an actual game. They call it Tupertario Tross, I think. Sounds like I'm talking like buckwheat or something.
Yeah, say that three times
buckwheat
fast, man.
Buckwheat day Tupertario Tross.
It's okay.
It's a real game. You can actually go to, what's the magic link? Oh, it's not showing me the URL when I cursor over
Newgrounds.com. Well, we'll have a link in the show notes. You can get to it.
To play the combined elements of Super Mario Brothers and Tetris. Basically, when you run around playing Mario until you can't go any further in the game, then you hit spacebar and switch to Tetris to build yourself a bridge. Now that's kind of cool.
That is cool.
I like it.
I'm going to have to check this out. Did you play it?
I did not play it. I was never really much good at Super Mario Brothers and only...
Or English.
Half good at Tetris.
Actually, you know what? I never really got into Tetris. And then later on, like, I think it, maybe it was because it was, oh, I know, it came on my Xbox, the original Xbox. It came with that and a copy of Star Wars Clone Wars. And I started playing, I was like, you know, this is actually pretty cool. So then I stuck something on my iPod Touch and, you know, started playing it. It's like, yeah, I can see where this is addictive. It's about like solitaire on Windows.
It's one of those games where if you play it long enough, you start to see the blocks in your dreams when you close your eyes.
Yeah. It's, or when you're moving, you start going, moving the boxes around.
All right, next story we have up is, well, speaking of boxes.
I'm sorry. Some of these links I haven't seen. That's pretty good.
It's called like, Old Data Storage Turns Your Old Media Into New. What they did is they took a full-size tower PC and hollowed it out and stuck their books in there. And it looks like, what, a can of hairspray or something. It's also in there. But
shaving cream,
they,
maybe?
They nailed it to the wall or drywall screwed it or whatever, and it's a bookshelf now. I think that's kind of stylish, but watch your fingers when you're pulling things in and out.
Actually, that one looked like it, the edges are polished. Some of those old ones aren't.
Okay, so this is a high-quality clone PC. It says Intel.
I like the joystick. They got one of those Wico joysticks on top. Those things are awesome.
And there's an Intel Inside sticker on it.
You know what? I used to put together machines exactly like this. This is the same ones I used to mass set up and, you know, configure. So much fun. All the memories.
Oh, yeah. Fun. You could never seem to get the cases back on quite right. You like their...
You know what I hated?
You like their Twitter and RSS feed icons?
What's that?
Look over on the side. The Twitter and the RSS icon look like they were drawn by hand.
Oh, that is pretty cool. Oh, yeah. I see them now.
Styling.
Yeah, I was going to say... yeah, you were right. The cover on these cases, if they were kind of flimsy, it was like trying to reform paper and get them in the exact right spot. I hate these cases, man.
All right. Who sent us this next link?
Ooh,
Claudio.
Sweet.
The Origins of Zork, one of our favorite video games.
Wait, I think you skipped something. No. You skipped something.
No, did I? Oh, the cupcakes. Well, yes, I said we have...
No, whoa. What section are you in? We're in the Hacks and Strange Stories.
I jumped to remember when. Oops, sorry. That's what scroll
what
bars
What podcast are you on?
Okay, we did the old data storage. I thought my tabs were out of order because you added a few things, but I guess not.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
No. Yeah, this is the Swiss Army knife utility. I think we talked about this once before. With
you think so?
Has a flash drive on it.
Yeah.
But this is like a newer version. It looks really cool. Oh, and I was going to jump on it, and it's out of stock.
Aw. Well, it's kind of expensive for only 1 gig, too. I mean, how much does a regular Swiss Army knife cost?
Let's see. Cutlery. Let's click on the link here.
It's got removable USB flash drive. It's got a blade, nail file with screwdriver, scissors, key ring, LED mini white light, and up to 18,000 MCD extremely bright light. What does that mean?
A flashlight.
Well, isn't that the LED white light? Maybe that should have been an indented bullet. And retractable ballpoint pen. It's a 1 gig drive, and it sells for $42.95 US.
Well, actually, you know, that's not so bad. I'm looking at a comparable one, one of the Swiss Army knives on their site. And it's like $35 with the light, no USB drive.
That's not too bad. So $10 bucks for a 1 gig, and it's integrated, but you'll never take this on an airline.
Yeah, no. Actually, they do have a 2, 4, and 8, and 16 gig. Wow.
Ooh, how much are those?
Let's look at, let's see, the 48 was...
Are they also in stock?
I'm sorry, what's that?
Are those also in stock?
Probably not, but I see a 4 gig for $58 bucks, 8 gig for $77. They got some, they got different ones. Oh, one's got a laser pointer. Cool. So you can have lightsaber battles with your Swiss Army knife. When you're camping, got smoke from the fire, you make it look like a lightsaber.
Oh my.
Yeah. Ow, my hand.
All right. Now that I have no clue where we're going, can we do the remember when thing?
Why? Yes.
Okay. Let's see if I can get this right now.
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage? Technorama remembers.
And we also remember about a week or two ago when we were talking about the Microsoft Surface table.
Yeah.
And how it could be used as a gaming table. Well, that's not a new story. Back in March of 2005.
Uh-oh.
Sorry. Had to check out the other computer. I was about to start playing the Technorama before Christmas.
Focus, focus.
No, actually, my short attention span saved us that time.
Oh, okay.
It would have started playing another audio clip that was totally unrelated. Well, Boing Boing pointed out, that posted by Cory Doctorow back in 2005, that says, this is a fancy gaming table for Dungeons & Dragons-style role-playing games. Typically, such games are played with miniatures on a tabletop. The problem is that the players are only supposed to see the parts of the terrain they have explored.
Mm-hmm.
This table has a laptop computer connected to the screen projector mounted on the ceiling. It projects the currently visible parts of the map onto the tabletop. The referee can control which parts are visible via the laptop. Referee? Isn't that called a dungeon master?
Referee? I just thought about that. Yeah.
Wow.
No, they have another guy there to break up the
D&D.
Fights over the Mountain Dew. Yeah.
I know more about D&D than Cory Doctorow. Well, at least did 5 years ago.
Well, he does live in England. Maybe that's the English word for dungeon master.
He kind of got a point there.
Hey, well, I do want to say this. You know, when my friend was introducing me to D&D back in high school, he made this dungeon. Actually, I think I ended up keeping his materials. I don't know why, but he had the materials there to make the map and all that. Or he made a map for this dungeon. Well, he kept saying, well, you know, you don't want to show the whole thing. He had made each part of the map 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, so he would lay it out when you got in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was trying to take it a step further, and this made me remember this. I totally forgot about I did this, but I took a transparency like they used over an overhead.
Yeah.
You know, like on a, you know, in high school or something, like an overhead projector.
Yeah.
And what I did was I spray painted part of the corners of it dark. Excuse me. I spray painted the corners of it dark, so it had like a airbrushed looking. It was kind of clear in the middle, and I would lay that down and try and make that the visible area, and you'd slide it around on my map.
Huh.
Kind of worked, but you could see the rest of the map. I was trying to cover the beyond the transparency. You could see everything else, but so it was kind of.
Don't look over there. Don't look over there.
Yeah, don't look over there. Anyway, so it kind of worked, but you know,
it's one of your the talents or the points you pick up. You now have extended vision.
Oh, yeah. Extended vision.
Okay.
Magic missile, magic missile, magic missile. I'm sorry. That was my tribute to tea.
Tastier than magic missiles are cupcakes. Boy, our segues are lame tonight, aren't they?
I haven't eaten a magic missile, have you?
Well, that would explain the gas.
Wait. Okay, you know what? We need to move along.
Yeah. I got to check who I give credit to this one for. The, what are we on? Cupcakes. Anthony, East Bay Ant, sent us the link, saying, I hope this gets in tonight's show. He's giving us a link to Steelhead Studio.
Nah, skip over it.
Sorry, we had to make cuts. There are 100 cupcakes decorated with various toppings. The first one has two die, a 20-sided die, and what is the 8-sided die? On top of it, and you kind of got to guess what they are. If you cursor over the question mark, it says Dungeons and Dragons. Another one's got a little bumblebee and a spaceship. You go, oh, that's Galaga. And of course, there's Barrel of Monkeys, tic-tac-toe. I wouldn't have thought that was Liar's Dice. I would have thought it was Yahtzee. Scroll down. Do you have any favorites?
It is Yahtzee.
But they call it Liar's Dice. Maybe it's another UK thing.
Those
Sonic
crazy
the Hedgehog, pigs. Checkers. I like the Missile Command. Pigmania. I like the pigs.
That's pretty cool.
Stratego. The original Atari adventure game is pretty funny.
That's cute.
The little yellow dragon.
There's your Tetris.
Julie remembers that from Strong Bad. Help, there's a crazy duck after me.
Speaking of which, there's Crazy Climber.
Crazy Climber, Asteroids, Bejeweled. It just goes on and on. I like Dig Dug. Dig is Dug. Very colorful. I do remember playing that.
Actually, it looks really good.
And Mario Heck looks man. Good, too. So.
Oh, look, there's Donkey Kong with the barrel coming down the ladder.
Joust, Berserk, Tempest, Pitfall, Operation. Now, obviously, they don't have the whole dude on the top of a cupcake. They just have, like, the funny bone. But yeah. Some of the detail they went in on these is amazing. Scrabble?
There's Duke Nukem. Yep, got
that. He looks more like a... I don't know. He doesn't look like...
He looks like he's in a music video.
Duke Nukem, the musical. Pong.
Hey, within Rick
Pong
rolled.
Is kind of lame. I mean, if this was a contest, Pong would not have had a whole lot of creativity points.
Hey, look at the 99. It's Simon.
Yay.
The one we chastised the programmer for.
I like the Tomb Raider.
Yeah. Actually, we gave the Simon programmer a hard time in the in the
missing
Christmas story.
It was... Huh? In the Christmas story. Right. I thought you meant in the Computer History Museum.
No, in the FIT Geek Christmas story, we gave him a hard time for making such a useless machine. Oh, that was kind of funny.
All right, now on to Zork.
Yes.
Zork. I'm just all over the place. I keep scrolling the other computer.
Stop it.
Claudio sends us a link to the origins of Zork. This is from /dot, and then it links to, was it an MIT site? No. NickM.com. No, that's not even it. Anyway, follow the links.
Yeah, there you go. A note. Yeah, NickM.com. It's a note on the word Zork.
But there's also one at a Canada, csd.uwo.ca,
mm-hmm.
about the Zork history. Anyway, it's a well-known word that was used in MIT hacker jargon around the 50s when it came out. Candidates are the term Zorch, like in the late 50s.
Zorcha.
Or if you type the word work on an AZERTY keyboard, which I guess, why don't you just hit the W instead of the Z? And many other obscure sci-fi references in books and things. It's not really conclusive where the word came for the game, but many theories. Somebody really did a lot of research to try and figure out the various places you could find the word Zork.
Well, you know, I found, it's been a while since I read it. It was the history of Infocom, and it was actually a really intriguing story, because they went from making these games, into making these games and all the politics and what they were trying to turn it into in the background. Wow. It was amazing. You know, it was really an amazing story, and up until Activision bought them and...
Wah, 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 wah.
Yeah, what a sad day. But, and they talked about the development of The Hitchhiker's Guide, which is probably one of my favorite ones.
I don't think I ever played that one on the computer. Really? I remember seeing it in the box, but I don't think the owner of the Computerland store ever opened that one up. At least I don't think I played it.
Well, you can download them. The ROMs. The Z engine.
Isn't that piracy?
No, not really. You can download.
Is there some point where computer games go into the public domain? I don't think so.
No, but if you go search, here's the deal. All right, you can download the Z engine interpreter. You can even download one on your iPod Touch, and you download it. But you go online and find a Java version of it. Well, the Java version, if you look in the code, there's the database. And you just put the database file, copy it down locally, put it on your iPod Touch or other device, and you can play it.
Do you have to download the whole mainframe computer? Because we used to play these on the mainframe.
Yes. No. No, it's actually very small. Somewhere on CD, I got a collection. I went through and downloaded all of them. And then there's some people that actually have developed their own games based on the Z engine.
What are these CDs you're talking about?
Nothing.
Do those do those play movies?
Well, let's see. They're sitting over there with the cassette tapes and in the
not A-track. Cassette, cassette.
Cassette. That's a nut, isn't it?
Cassette. If you go over to Gizmodo, they would want to take a look at what CES looked like back in 1979, and there is a hysterical video on that ABC dug out of their archives from Las Vegas in 1979, and this guy, he says, over 600,000 people now own video cassette recorders.
Yeah, cassette.
Or you can play this game on a regular audio cassette. Maybe that was hilarious. Wasn't that Mama Cass's daughter or something?
Yeah, cassette.
Cass Elliot and the Cassettes.
That was her baby.
I think, what was your funniest thing about that video?
Probably the clothes they were all wearing.
I liked the portable camcorder.
Oh, yeah.
The thing was like not so huge. And then you still had the shoulder, over-the-shoulder harness thing. Julie looked at that and said, what, did he pack a lunch?
Yeah. Well, you know, remember we were talking about this other day was, or on the other show was, my dad knew somebody that pirated the Star Wars film. Imagine he had to carry that.
Oh.
That he carried that into the theater, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. The tripod isn't a little suspicious, is it?
Yeah. No, I don't know how you'd get that in there.
And that takes us to the end of the Remember When. Yes.
Is that a tripod in your pocket, or are you just happy to be here?
I love this movie. We're going to take a quick break and talk more about movies like Avatar. Not
okay.
Now, not a whole lot about it, but I had an interesting reference. Not yet, and I'm really starting to regret it.
Me too.
Because I think I'm going to have to put that on next weekend's plans. We'll talk more about it right after this, and why.
All over the world, people are rushing to ChuckChat.com to listen to Radio Yesterday, the greatest collection of all-time radio in podcast form. Horror, comedy, mystery, science fiction, Radio Yesterday has it all. Join your host, Chuck Tomasi, to discover new shows or rediscover lost favorites. Use the latest RSS technology and never miss a single episode. Don't delay. Hurry to ChuckChat.com and pick up your copy of Radio Yesterday.
Call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT.
Hello, this is Dr. Floyd.
And this is Dr. Grant from the Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd.
And you're listening to Chuck Chat Technorama.
Ooh, Technorama. That sounds fancy and sci-fi.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hear that's with Chuck and Craig.
Who?
Craig.
Craig Stepp?
Yes, Craig Stepp. You know him, right?
Oh, sure. Who doesn't know him?
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the Media Corner.
Now, before we get into too many of the Media Corner things, we mentioned Avatar, and I wanted to mention that I am wishing I'd seen it, because the our pastor worked Avatar into our sermon today. And that's why I feel bad that I haven't seen it yet.
Did he paint himself blue and walk out?
No. He was talking about the way people greet and you know, when he says, the Lord be with you, and then all the congregation says, and also with you, or how you shake hands and say, how are you doing today? And you know, most people just kind of walk around in a robotic mode. How are you doing today? Fine.
Yeah.
You really don't want to know all the gory details anyway. But and he said, even in Avatar, their standard greeting is, I see you. And I'm like,
Well, okay.
He just, okay, I'm listening now.
Yeah, I see. What? That's funny.
You know, just sometimes, you know, the mind drifts a bit in church and starts going blah, 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 blah. Avatar. Did he just say Avatar?
Yeah. Whoa. He startled you.
Woke oh, come you on. My pastor's seen the movie and I haven't yet.
I know. And you know what? I haven't either, and I'm really regretting it.
All right,
myself.
We're going to have to get on that train. I'm actually a little skeptical whether I want to see it in 3D or not.
I do.
3D generally doesn't work wonders for me.
Well, I figure it like this. I want to see it in 3D when I can, because normally I'm going to probably see it on either DVD or something on the TV, and it's not going to be in 3D.
Yeah, that's true, if you own your own copy later.
Yeah, well, if anything at CES has something to say about it, I don't know, but because everything I seem to see was, a lot of it was 3D on your
well,
TV.
Well, that's because Avatar really went big. If the movie was a flop, a lot of people probably would have put something else in their booth besides 3D watches and 3D stereo systems.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everything at CES was, they were talking about ESPN, Discovery, some other channels, they're going to do a 3D channel.
Oh, like we don't have enough channels already on the digital list. We got to have their HD and 3D.
Well, you know, it's funny you mention that because, you know, I'm not going to sit there and wear glasses to watch my TV. Because
when you lie down, they don't work.
Or 3D glasses. Yeah, it's just not going to work. So, but anyway, that's just all gimmicky. I don't know, that's going to cut it for me. But me and my wife were sitting there talking about this, and they just raised our rates on our DirecTV.
Ouch.
So, you know what? I'm paying, well, they want me to pay nearly $100 now. And I'm like, you know what? No, I'm not.
Does that include your internet or anything?
No, I don't get my internet through DirecTV. That's my local.
That's just your TV is $100?
Well, we have two receivers in the house, and one of them is HD. Yeah, I mean, that's what the increase is going to be. It's $95 is where it's going. I'm like, forget it. You know, what I'm going to do? I'm getting a little box that does the Amazon box, the video on demand type thing. And I'm going a la carte. This is crazy.
You'll have to like go talk to them.
I want you to lower my rates.
Take this.
You're going to reduce my rates. That's better.
But it's ridiculous, and I know a lot of people are start talking about going a la carte, which you can, you know, between Hulu, which you can't, it's hard to get that on your TV, but I would take the money, all right, that I'm paying for my DirecTV over the year, put some of that towards buying a season on Amazon or even iTunes, you know, I would come out on a long run big time.
Okay, we need to move along. We still have like 6 things left to do, and we're...
All right, well, we'll talk about that later when I get more into my experiment.
Bob in Michigan sends us a link, since I was just doing my Darth Vader bad impression. We have the Dark Hub of the Sith. This is a 4-port USB hub, of course, in the shape of the bust of the evil one. What is the price on this thing, anyway?
I have no idea.
It's over at Kaboodle.com. They're not... you can get it at ThinkGeek. Here, let's see how much...
Oh, it's $50.
Ouch.
Hey, but it's in stock.
Does it talk to you, too?
I don't know. If it sits there and breathes, I might not want it.
As the data's going in and out.
Yeah.
I felt your images.
Oh, here you go. Eyes glow, head turns, and Vader speaks when you insert a new USB drive. Just what I need.
Well, you know, his chest thing did kind of look like a light bright, so yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. That is funny.
And from Star Wars to Star Trek, we go over to something that I wish I had back in the day. I don't know if you knew, but I used to be a scuba diver once upon a time. Actually, I still am a certified Paddy Dive Master. This would have been my favorite suit, because I remember my brother got a red and blue dry suit, and everybody started calling him Spider-Man. It kind of looked like that. It did. It was, you know, red down the middle and blue on the sleeves, whatever it was. And Slice of Sci-Fi had an article this past week that the I don't know who it is, but somebody's got wetsuits. JMJ Wetsuits now has full one-piece suits that look like the uniforms from the original Star Trek. Of course, I wouldn't buy the red one for obvious reasons. You go down and who never comes back? The red shirts!
Yeah, no. I thought about the same thing. Hey, yeah. Take him with you because that's the one the shark will get.
You think about it, the old uniforms were kind of tight and looked like wetsuits. So,
yeah.
Stands to reason.
I think you should get one, Chuck.
Thanks, Mark, in North Carolina, for passing along that link. And let's see, we already talked about your something dark side.
Well, I just wanted to, I'll glaze over it real quick. I just want to say I can recommend it. I'm not sure when it's going to actually go air on TV, but I saw the DVD and I grabbed it. The Blu-ray version, I grabbed the Blu-ray version. It came with a digital copy to put on my iPod, and it's really good. Actually, mm-hmm. I felt like I watched a comedy version of The Empire Strikes Back. It was really good. So if you're a fan of Star Wars, go for it. And The Family Guy. If you like both of those, you'll be in good shape.
Now, what is Mule?
What is Mule?
The developers at Turborilla have remade the 1983 classic game M-U-L-E. I don't believe I've ever run across that one.
Mule is, it's an old game. It's one of those economic kind of, you build up your money, that kind of thing.
You know what I'm talking about? Okay. So an early kind of role-playing game that took a long time.
Yeah, well, they call it here an economic simulation game. Mule.
Okay, that would not have got my attention my senior year in high school.
Probably not, but it was actually a really popular game. Anyway, it just caught my eye that they updated the graphics some. The gameplay's essentially the same, so you can go play it online.
What platform did it come out on originally?
I know it was on the Commodore. Here you go. It was on the Commodore. It started off on the Atari. And then it made its way over to the Commodore 64 and Nintendo and, the PC Junior.
Oh, well, we had one of those sitting on the floor, showroom floor for a long time. I wonder why we didn't play it.
Actually, the PC Junior, I didn't mind that machine except for the keyboard stunk.
Well, the original one did. It had that chiclet keyboard, but they came out with a better one later.
And it was wireless, too.
I mean, if you wanted to play King's Quest or Leisure Suit Larry, that was your platform.
yeah, that's right.
For a long time.
Yeah, actually,
what was
we did
the
other
one?
I did a lot of things with that PC Junior. My friend had a PC Junior, and I think I've talked about this a long time ago. But those of you who haven't heard, I wrote a. His family owned a video store, and so I wrote some software to keep track of all the videotapes that went in and out of the store, who had them, and that kind of thing. Of course, you can see I gave it all away, and. Somebody else made money and I didn't. Story of my life. Never mind.
All right.
What the Chuck?
Not Chuck. Craig.
You'll make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Craig, it's that time of year again, isn't it?
It is. It's Pinewood Derby time. Pinewood Derby time. Say it again.
Sunday.
So today...
Lincoln Elementary School.
So this weekend we spent the weekend building our Pinewood Derby cars because I think in 2 weeks-ish, I think it's about 2 weeks, I think the 24th is when we have to turn our cars in for the local scouts. So anyway, the parents race, and I wanted to do it again this year. So I built my own car along with Harrison. He's building a shark car, which actually looks pretty cool.
Wait a minute. Didn't you show me something that was taking shape like a Batman car?
He's building a shark car. I'm building the Batmobile.
You're not a Cub Scout anymore.
No, they have a parents race.
Oh.
So they have a parents race, and then they have an unlimited class too, where no rules, you just build a car and make it as heavy as you want and go for it. So there's different classes.
It's made completely out of lead.
You know what I told Harrison? I said, you know what, I should go in the unlimited class and make a car as long as the track, so all it has to do is move an inch.
Plunk.
Ta-da. So anyway, I'm making mine look like the old 60s Batmobile, and it's coming along okay, and I'll put a couple pictures of it at this point up on the web and some finished pictures.
Now, you found some other stuff on the web.
Well, see, when I went looking for a geek car or a popular movie car or something to do, you know, I was looking around, and I ended up looking at Luke's Landspeeder, which I thought was pretty and pretty good. But then something that kind of intimidated me, because I decided to go with the Batmobile, and then I saw this, and I went, oh, man, there's no way I can top that. This kit, I'm sure his dad had some help there. Or he had some help from his dad.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, it's wider than mine. Mine looks like a stretch limo with a Batmobile. But he added some wood to the side to cover the wheels and everything.
I was going
to
say, how did he get wheel wells on this thing?
Yeah, what you do is you get the block of wood. He cut out the cockpit. Then he added two more pieces to the side so he can make it wider. And it really looks good. And he has some pictures in the forum of them building it, and you can scroll down and see all that stuff. It's fantastic. So
looks like there's some other good ones on this same website if you wanted some ideas over at derbytalk.com.
The Mach 5 looked good. He had Dodge Charger something. Challenge Charger. Yeah. What are you laughing awesome. At?
The Mach 5.
Oh yeah, the Mach 5 looks a little weak compared to the other ones, but. But yeah, I'm ready. My Batmobile is going to look okay, I think. It's just long.
All right. That takes us to the end. I appreciate it. That was a good highlight. You're going to have to let us know how the Batmobile comes along.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sure next week we're painting, so actually I'll probably have some more finished pictures for everybody to see.
Oh, always a good time. I miss those times with my brothers, and I didn't have any sons, so... I'm missing out. Maybe I'll have
Girl Scouts. Don't they do Pinewood?
Girl Scouts? No.
They Pinewood ponies.
Pinewood unicorns. Pinewood flowers. Nope. Ain't gonna happen.
Okay.
That takes us to the end of the show. We appreciate your support. If you'd like to leave us some feedback, there are many ways to show your love. You can call the listener line 206-222-CHAT. That's 206-222-2428. That gets emailed right to us. We get the audio file, and we'll slap it in the show. And then we'll slap it around, and then we'll slap it on a USB drive.
We'll eat it into a nice dough and put it in the oven and bake it and play it out for you.
Good visual. Send us an email, which we will still need, and bake at 350 for only 10 minutes because they're thinner. Technorama at chuckchat.com, or follow us on Twitter, see Tomasi Step K or Technorama, to get all the goody goofy stuff between the shows too. If you want to visit all that stuff, you can find it out on the website. There's a whole contact, follow us, all that good stuff. And if you want to do like what John Noble did, ooh, that tip jar, it felt good. You'll get the music played for you and everything, because that's the least we can do. Actually, that's about all we can
do. We'll pick on you too.
No, don't make fun of the people that donate to the tip jar, man.
No, I mean, if you want to pay for the picking, you go ahead.
Oh, right. Or the monthly micropayments, $2 a month, it's great. A lot of people doing that, and it certainly helps offset the cost of hosting and bandwidth and all that other good stuff.
Yeah.
Special thanks to the following people for keeping Technorama going. All the people who contributed links this week, Bob and Mark and Claudio and everybody else. Thank you very much. Certainly, we like to get more than just the dozen or so RSS feeds and sites that we're going after, or things that Craig finds when he's in a drunken stupor.
Yeah, that's it.
It happens. Mm-hmm. Thank you to Citrix for helping pay the bills, Mad Mar for all the great blog content he provides during the week, Ustream, who keeps our modest live streams going and allows us to record and store all of these shows. So if you really want to find out what happens before Craig gets his hands on the editing... Yeah, watch the videos. They're fun. You even get to see the web pages and things that we're putting up and see these Batmobiles and whatnot. And special thanks to Steve Rickenberg and all the crew over at thinstack.net for the chat room. Doing a wonderful job. It's staying alive, which is more than I can say for half of our other projects.
That's a start.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with a whole bunch of great podcasts over at farpointmedia.com. Go check them out. We know you're going to find something you'll enjoy, something other than this show, because it doesn't do any good to subscribe to us twice.
Shut up, Chuck.
Because if you're getting this show, if you're not getting it automatically delivered to you, what is wrong with you? Step into the 21st century, because you can get it delivered automatically. If you have no clue of what that means, I got a book I can sell you, or send us an email and save $15 on the book. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama and say something nice this time, and give us a binary high five.
101.
Bye, everybody.
Hey, if they drop something in the chip tip jar, well, they can say whatever they want. Nice.
I have no idea why I did that.